Welcome back, everybody, and welcome to episode number 4 of the Get Fit podcast series. I am your host, Andy Gallardo, Director of Fitness for Kaiser Permanente Southern California, coming to you from beautiful Pasadena, California, home of the Rose Bowl, Old Town Pasadena, and many other cool things. Today, I am super excited to share with you a conversation with our pal, Angela Mader, founder and CEO of Fitlosophy, which is the company that brought you Fitbook and the Fitbook Journal to the world. Angela used her own personal battle to ignite her passion to influence the lives of others. If you know Angela, you've probably seen her with a cup of coffee or on her way to the coffee shop. She thrives on caffeine. I call her a goal guru, and needless to say, she is a fireball who thrives on helping others live life fit. So get ready for a fun ride. As always, a couple of quick disclaimers. This information is not intended to replace your healthcare professional. Opinions of the hosts and guests do not represent the views or opinions of Kaiser Foundation Health Plan, Kaiser Foundation Hospitals, or the Southern California Permanente Medical Group. We do not receive any compensation for products or services mentioned on the show, nor do we endorse or promote any products mentioned. With that said, enjoy the show. Okay, Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
Okay, so Fitlosophy, tell us what that is.
Well, Fitlosophy is the company that I started, you know, a little over 9 years ago. Most people know Fitlosophy better for the product that I created, which was Fitbook.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we met many years ago. And so, yeah, I really just started with an idea for this one product, Fitbook, which is a 12-week fitness and nutrition journal. And that was the start of Fitlosophy many, many years ago. And so we've kind of grown the company over the past 9 years to include more products, more tools to help people reach their health and fitness goals, which is really our mission. But we do so in, you know, a creative and innovative way that is more focused on goal setting and accomplishing, you know, your best version of yourself versus just, you know, losing weight. So that's kind of the mission and the goal behind Fitlosophy.
Great. Now remind me, this company was kind of created through, was it your MBA project or how did that kind of happen?
Yeah, so I actually had the idea for Fitbook many years ago. So the backstory is that, you know, starting at the age of, I think it was 13, 14, something like that, I had eating disorders for about 7 years. And it was through the process of journaling that I was able to overcome that. I was quote unquote forced to journal. You know,
was that through a doctor
through recovery programs?
Okay,
yeah,
recovery program.
And I had always journaled. Like, it's actually sad when I go back and see some of my journals from when I was 14 and 15. I mean, I was meticulously tracking calories and calories expended and calories in and calories out, and just obsessive, poor little thing at such a young age. And so whenever I was journaling through these treatment programs, you weren't allowed to track those things. It was more focused on feelings and thoughts and gratitude and all these, you know, positive things. And so I really, you know, kind of coming out on the other side of that, I realized how important journaling was to my own personal recovery. And then not only just from a health and fitness perspective, but setting goals has always been a part of, you know, things that I've achieved in my life and starting at a young age. And so I realized that journaling really was a key component of that. So it wasn't until I came up with this idea, you know, really it was back in 2007. And yes, I was at nearing the end of my MBA program here at UC Irvine. And I was in the entrepreneurship track of the program. And so a lot of the program involved, you know, product design courses. And we had a startup course. And so I would, you know, be the first one to raise my hand and say, I want to use my project. And it was kind of entertaining at the time because, you know, a lot of people had these brilliant ideas and business models. And here I was with my journal that had paper.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, what's the app or what does it do? And I'm like, no, it's a journal. And so that was really at the time when apps were really kind of on the, you know, the cutting edge of, you know, health and fitness. You know, whenever we launched in 2008 at the IDEA, you know, World Conference, you know, on every side of me was a different app or, you know, widget that was going to help you reach your goals. And so, you know, fast forward and Fitbook is still around.
So that's a great segue for the $1 million question, right?
Oh, dear.
So journaling, pen and paper. We live in a digital world.
Yeah.
Are people still writing stuff down?
It's actually, I mean, if you were, the $1 million question is if I got a dollar for every time somebody asked me that,
right.
I would be a multimillionaire. You know, if you really look at how the industry is trending, when we started the company, it was really a one-man show for quite a few years. But whenever I started the company, you know, apps were the next best thing, right? But now we live in an age where, you know, people are overwhelmed with technology, social media. I was actually watching, you know, the Today Show this morning, the decline in social media usage among the younger demographics because they're just overwhelmed with so much that's going on.
Good.
And yes, good. And we're learning that, you know, not only does research show that this is the proven way to achieve your goals, but I think that, you know, you've also seen an uptick in use of bullet journaling, right? Paper planners have made a major comeback. There are so many planner companies out there. And so there really is not only this resurgence of, you know, pen and paper as a way to, you know, plan your life, schedule your life. I mean, shoot, I use sticky notes for everything, you know, because everything gets lost in your phone, on your laptop. And I don't know how many times I'm just like trying to find something and it's lost in the technology sphere
right,
somewhere.
Right.
So, you know, but when it comes to health and fitness specifically, it was actually Kaiser Permanente that came out with a study the very day I launched Fitbook in 2008 in July. And it made the cover of Yahoo News. That was back when Yahoo was our source of, you know, news. And Kaiser did this really interesting six-month study. It was the largest weight loss study to date, and it was on 1,700 people. And what they found was that they told people, you know, just don't follow any specific diet or exercise program. They had half of the people writing things down, writing down their food, their fitness, and their goals, and then another group of people not writing anything down. The interesting thing is over a six-month period of time, the people that didn't write anything down lost on average about 9 pounds. So, you know, great results in 6 months. The people that did write things down lost on average over 20 pounds. So more than double the amount of weight loss in the same amount of time just by picking up a pen. More recent research, because that's been a few years, was done by Pew Research, and they actually found that while people used many methods of tracking their health and fitness, they found that 69% of people were more effective in reaching their goals, and that the key to doing so was pen and paper, and they quote-unquote found that technology did not play a significant role. So what we're finding is that this very like tactile, like, approach of putting pen to paper has a connective, you know, to your cognitive behavioral science. I mean, I know you just did a podcast on that and how it shapes how your mind actually processes that. So it can apply to health and fitness. It also can apply to any goal.
And I don't know what the science is behind this, but it just seems like if you put something down on paper with a pen, mm-hmm. it becomes real.
It is real.
As opposed to going off into the cloud or yep. the cyber world.
They've actually found that you're 76% more likely to reach a goal if you put pen, two things. You have to write it down, pen to paper, and also tell someone about it. And so that increases your accountability. So it's accountability to yourself and others is a huge source of that. And so the funny thing about that number, 76%, is we did a research study back, I think it's been almost 5 years now, way too long. We need to do another one. But we found, we did a study on a group of people over a 12-week period of time, and 76% of people lost weight in 12 weeks. And so I find it fascinating that, you know, even though that this, you know, study is done by Kaiser and all these healthcare organizations, we found the same thing holds true when it comes to people using Fitbook and losing weight. The only reason I don't love that stat is because not everyone's goal is to lose weight. And
right.
and we've always been adamant about that with Fitbook. It's a goal-setting journal. It is not a weight loss journal. If your goal is to lose weight, you will probably have success using this. However, many people's goals are to, like, you know, you run a marathon, do a triathlon, compete in a competition of some sort, lower your cholesterol, whatever your goal is, we really try to create a tool for that, not tell you what your goal should be.
No, that's a great point. I think there's probably a little bit of a misconception out there that Fitbook is associated with weight loss and weight loss only. And you know, full disclosure, I use the journal called Goal Getter. And I think one of the coolest things about that journal is you start out with the three things you're grateful for.
Yeah, disclaimer there. The Goal Getter Fitspiration Journal is our journal as well. So Andy, good job. and that's the thing is, you know, Fitbook may have been, you know, my first product, but the product line has really evolved over the years as well. So Fitbook was the first journal. 12 weeks, sets and reps in the gym. That was a person that was going to be using that product. You know, fast forward, I found that a lot of people were trying to lose weight using our products. And yet the Fitbook was a little overwhelming for someone. It was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, the woman that's at home that has two kids and doesn't necessarily go, you know, pound iron at the gym,
right,
isn't going to see the same results. So the Fitbook Lite, which was our 6-week journal, we created a couple years later, and that is focused more on healthy habits and healthy weight loss. So do these four things every day for 6 weeks, and I have like a money back guarantee if you don't see results. Have I ever had anyone ask for that? No, because they do. If you do it and you follow it, you will see results. So we did that. And then after that came the Fitspiration Journal, which is the one you're referring to, which is the Goal Getter. That is our Fitspiration Journal that is a fitness meets gratitude journal. And the reason that one is so effective, which I love, is there's so much science behind how gratitude specifically is tied to your health and well-being and happiness and improved sleep quality. And they found that people that journal their gratitude every day actually are active 40 minutes more per week than people that don't. So all this research points to this works. Even the creator of the Bulletproof Diet, you know, he is a huge believer in gratitude journaling. I need to get one in his hands.
Yeah.
Because it works. And I think I tell people all the time, you know, you can go get a personal trainer. You can spend hundreds of dollars on the latest and greatest classes. And I'm not anti those things. But if you don't take the time to really just reflect on the things that you're already doing, it's really going to be hard to reach your goals regardless.
Yeah, so I think, you know, one of the really cool things about the way you've set up the Goal Getter Journal and all of your journals for that matter is you kind of prompt people, right? You kind of have categories and you have little faces for mood and you know, so, you know, journaling, if you just gave someone a piece of paper,
yeah,
might be pretty hard for them. But when you just are kind of answering some of your own internal questions, it makes that flow a little easier. And so
it makes you reflect. And I think that that's a lot of, you know, this whole concept of mindfulness is if we're not prompted to think about things, you know, I kind of have this saying like out of sight, out of mind, which everyone knows that saying, but it's true. You know, in the Fitspiration Journal specifically, you know, if you're prompted to think about three things you're grateful for every day, it really does make you sit back. And I tell people all the time, try to think of three things you're grateful for and be cranky. Really, try really hard.
Yeah.
Because I don't care who you are, there is always something to be grateful for, even if all you have to be grateful for is you woke up this morning. And I know that some days that's maybe minimizing the things that people are dealing with, but if we approach each day as an attitude of, you know, gratitude, so to speak, I just think that it just shifts your mindset for the rest of the day. The other prompts, I think you're talking about one thing, this one stumps me every time. I mean, it's, you know, one thing I appreciate about my strong body. And the reason I worded it that way, and trust me, most people don't understand how much angst goes into creating these products. Like, I'm finishing up one up right now, and the thought that goes into how I want people thinking about their body is so important. Like, one thing I appreciate about my body is so different than one thing I like about my body, or one thing that, you know, it's appreciating the function and the capabilities and the things that you can do every day, even if you're not where you want to be right now. And I think it also reminds us that our bodies are not just a function of what they look like, but what they can do.
So I just have to tell you.
Oh, dear.
No, I mean, you literally took the words right out of my mouth because I think
it's
with
your podcast.
What are you doing? This is my show. That's exactly what I share with people. When you start the day with the three things you're grateful for, it's really hard to have a bad day. You know, now we live in the medical world and real, you know, things can happen. But for the most part, if you just go back and look at it during the day and remember why you put those three down,
yeah,
it kind of makes you go, whew, it's not terrible.
I have a question for you. I know this is your show, but I'm just curious. How do you use your journal? So do you journal first thing in the morning? Do you journal at night? Do you twice? Like, how do you use the Fitspiration Journal?
So I'm afraid to tell you how I journal because I'm like, maybe I'm doing it wrong.
But there is no wrong way.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I set that up. So I do start it in the morning.
Okay.
But I go to it all day long.
Okay.
Especially that the right side of the page, and you can't see what we're describing right now, but the right side of the journal is more of kind of a blank space. And I do kind of jot down notes and thoughts during the day on that right side, whereas the left side is more, how does your body feel?
It's more the prompts.
More the prompts.
To give a visual for the people listening, you know, the left-hand side is prompts, you know, starting your day with three things you're grateful for. It prompts you to set one goal to live life fit today. It asks you one thing you appreciate about your body. And then we have a rate your day section. So it's what was your physical activity? What was your nourishment? What's your energy level? And I think there's a rate your mood. You know, I love circling the smiley face, or some days I emphatically circle the frowny face. I don't know. It depends on the day. But you're right. It's really hard to circle the frowny face after I just talked about three things I'm grateful for. And then every day there's a fitness tip on the left-hand side of the page. And then the right-hand side, the idea in keeping it blank was to use it however seems fit for you, right? So I tend to do the same thing. I do the left-hand side kind of all day, but the right-hand side I actually save for nighttime. I find that it's very relaxing for me to journal about my day. One of my friends, I'm sure you've heard of it, the Simply Fit Board. She was on Shark Tank. She's actually a childhood friend of mine. She posted a picture of her Fitspiration journal, and she actually uses the right-hand side of her Fitspiration journal for her business notes during the day. And I was like, oh, I never thought of that. I always thought of it as my personal space. And I was like, that's actually brilliant because it is dated, right? So I could turn back and go look at those things. So many people use it so differently, and you're right. There's no wrong way or right way.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it has like my to-do lists, you know, sometimes it has more like deep thoughts throughout the day, and sometimes it has notes from a meeting.
Yeah. I like the bottom right-hand section because I doodle things that inspire me that day. So if it's a quote, like, you know, on my calendar that I see that inspires me, I'm a very tactile person, go figure. I like to draw things. I like to doodle. And so I like doodling a quote that inspires me or a scripture or whatever that might be for the day.
Okay. So just to recap, there's no wrong way to journal.
No wrong way to journal.
Someone asked me, you know, someone told me the other day, we were talking about meditation. They're like, oh, I really stink at meditation. I'm like, you can't. You know what I mean? You just got to do
it and
try.
It's funny you bring that up. I downloaded an app because I was like, I'm really bad at meditation. And somebody said the same thing to me. And one of my buddies was like, well, download the Headspace app. Because I had this weird, like, idea of what meditation was. I'm like, oh, you mean it's learning to just like let your mind be at rest and it's okay if it's not? Because you know me, I'm a entrepreneur, like my mind's going a mile a minute. And I've actually learned to start sitting still for 5 minutes. And it's not, I guess I had some idea that it was like kind of like real out there and spiritual. It's not. It's learning to calm your mind and calm your body just for moments at a time. So that app has actually been helpful for me in learning to sit still.
Definitely.
5 minutes is my max, I think.
Definitely. So you mentioned, you know, early on when we were talking about the studies and the research and the success people had with journaling and pen and paper. And one of the things you said, in addition to writing stuff down, was sharing it with other people.
Yeah.
So I have my journal. I'm doing my thing, right? What do I do? How do I share what I've written down with others?
Yeah, I think that can take all kinds of different forms. So, you know, for example, whenever people decide, you know, you decide you're going to run a triathlon or do a triathlon,
right?
You probably tell someone, right? And so whenever you see that person next, they're like, hey, how's the training going? That holds you accountable more than like when you see that person, you like want to like cover
point.
And like go, like you kind of make it known. So I tell people often whenever they're looking to lose weight, especially, or reach a goal of any sort, or even start a business, tell like two or three people closest to you, like, hey, I'm doing this. And you know what? It'd be awesome if you asked me about it. Just, you know, whenever you see me, to hold me accountable. And you'd be surprised how much that can really lift you up. Because, you know, number one, who do we spend a lot of time with going out to eat and things like that? If I tell someone that let's say I have a cholesterol issue or something like that, and I'm really trying to dial things in, and I go out to dinner with my friends, and I'm totally, you know, burger, fries, and, you know, a large Coke, somebody that is close to me will pull me aside and be like, hey, you know, this is cool, but, you know, I just want to make sure you're doing okay on that goal. And so it's really not having this big brother, big sister mentality, but it's having people that you trust and know in your circle to hold you accountable. Another way is social media. We see this all the time with our followers on social media. People will set their goals for the week, or they're writing their goal-getter journal, and they post it on social media. And that is a way of holding yourself accountable, because it's really hard to set a goal and post it for the world to see and right. then not wonder. I mean, many of our followers will know, I stalk them. If you set a goal and you tag Fitbook, I will check in with you. I've been known to check in with many people and be like, how's that going? Because I love following, like, that's really a lot of the personal engagement I have with people is on social media. And so even just posting things on social media and having people hold you accountable is a really, really great tool.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. So I'm going to shift gears here just a little bit. You know, you and I have had some conversations over the years, and I've noticed a trend with you.
Oh, dear.
You always seem to have some great ideas around kids' fitness and kids' health. So I'm taking that as you have a passion in that area. You know, how did that really develop for you, and how did that happen?
You know, I think that, you know, my passion for helping kids with health and fitness is, number one, it's just such a big problem, you know, and I think, you know, when we talk about the technology, I think that's a huge reason why kids are struggling with weight at such an early age now. You know, they're on their iPads and their phones, and, you know, I have plenty of friends with kids. God bless them. Back in the day, I would have given my kid an iPad too. Like, here, be quiet. Mommy's talking, you know? And I get that. But it wasn't that way when I was a kid. You know, when we were kids, mom would literally kick us out of the house and be like, I'm cleaning the house. Go play in the ditch bank, which that's probably not the smartest idea, but whatever, I lived.
Yeah.
Go, you know, play in the field. Go build a fort. Go do something. And so I think that what bothers me so much now to see that we have all these programs in place for childhood obesity, and it's not getting any better. And I believe a lot of that is, you know, of course, I'm not an expert in this, so please, dear God, I don't want to get a ton of emails about this, but my philosophy behind it is, number one, kids need to just play. They need to be outside playing and not on their phones. And the other thing is, I think, you know, what they're exposed to from a food perspective. There's just so many aspects to that, but my passion for, you know, creating so many products around kids specifically is, you know, frankly, I also don't think kids are taught to set goals. I set goals when I was little, but my dad would sit down. I mean, I remember being like 8 when I had my first job. No, it was not childhood labor. My dad owned a bakery. I wanted to work there. But I remember when I started making money, I think I started at a whopping $4.25 an hour. Thanks, Dad. Which was minimum wage at the time.
Not bad.
Which now I'm really dating myself. But started saving money. I mean, I opened a savings account, all these things. And my dad sat down and was like, well, what are your goals? What are you saving your money for? At the age of 8. So I think that the interesting thing about that is, you know, kids that just kind of get what they want when they want it. They have their phone, they have their iPad, all these. I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm an adult. And these are $700 phones we carry around. And I see kids that are 13 with them. And I know it's a different day and age, but everything that points to, you know, I think that kids just need to be kids, but they also need to learn to set goals and delayed gratification, whether it be money, whether it be food, whether it be whatever it is. So I also just love applying this goal setting methodology to kids, because I've also found in working with kids and adults, no one holds adults more accountable to their goals than kids. You tell a kid that you're like, I'm not going to eat French fries for the next week, and you do, oh, they'll call you out.
Right.
So we found that taking a family approach to health and fitness is actually much more effective.
And because of that, you actually have some kids' products, right?
Yep.
The Fitbook.
Fitbook Junior. Which was actually my second product. I created that one in 2009. So it came very soon after Fitbook. And we do a program called Fit at School, which we integrate into school programs. So the kids get a Fitbook Junior. The teachers get an entire curriculum on how to integrate this into the classroom. And actually, September is National Childhood Obesity Awareness Month. So we just donated, I think, 1,000 Fitbook Junior to an organization called Kids in Need Foundation. And we did that because these schools a lot of times don't have budget for these things. We're actually going to be doing a giveaway in September as well for 4 classrooms to win Fitbook Juniors, things like that, because I always called FitBook Junior my passion project. I've donated more of those critters than I've actually sold.
Yeah.
And I'm being honest about it because schools don't have budgets. And a lot of times the kids that actually need those products maybe don't have the funds for them. And so we donate a ton to classrooms. I'm going to get a ton of emails asking for donations, but whatever. But I call it my passion project because I figure, hey, if FitBook's making money, my goal is to have fewer people needing this product later in life. And if we start them at a younger age, we have a better chance of that. And we actually have a product called the Healthy Kids Goal Setting Chart. So it's like for your fridge or your, you know, whatever. Kids can earn stickers and stuff like that and learn to set goals. Even this is like for the 3 to 4 age group, like little guys. But just learning, like, if you eat your veggies, you get like a sticker, and teaching them at that young of age.
Yeah. And that's important for kids to be able to like check it off or,
yeah,
you know, get the sticker or.
So really we're just applying the same science and methodology to the little ones that we know works for adults.
Yeah, it is just an insanely crazy world right now. You know, we had a few months ago, we had the little peewee football team over at our house. Mm-hmm. And so we have, you know, 12 boys running around. And I can't tell you, within an hour, all 12 of them came up to me like, what's your Wi-Fi password? And I'm like, what does it matter? Go play, you know? And I remember, you know, one of the parents came to pick up a kid and I'm like, what is the deal? Why do they need Wi-Fi? And the parent didn't understand what I was getting at because like, oh, well, then their Twitter works faster and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, that's not my point. You know, they're supposed to be here in person playing with one another. But it was just such a natural occurrence for them. They walk into a home. What's your Wi-Fi?
Yep.
You know.
And there's a beautiful thing about it. I mean, I think that technology will enable these children, I mean, to do things that we never had the opportunity to do. I mean, I look at from a business perspective, right? I think about how easy it, not easy, business is never easy, but now the technology that you have available to start a business, literally you could start overnight. That took me years to figure out, right? E-commerce is so much, you have so much more accessibility. We use Shopify. I love Shopify. We have a new payroll platform called Gusto that like is like, I'm like, where was this 10 years ago? All these things that, you know, these kids will not have those same issues, but you know, it's like anything. Too much of anything is not a good thing. And too little of anything is not a good thing as well. So it's really finding that medium. And I'm not one to talk. I don't have kids, so I'm not like giving parenting advice at all. I just know that we didn't have access to those things when I was younger. And it was more like, you know, go play, go be active. And it wasn't because that was, you know, a plan that your parents had. It was just like, that's what kids do. And so I think we just have to be careful that we, you know, make sure that kids still keep that that play part.
Yeah, and I think the probably the more important part of play, in addition to the physical fitness part of it, is you learn to solve problems and you learn to come up with rules and you have the kind of this order. And, you know, I think what we're seeing now is I was just talking to somebody that hires a lot of engineers and he's like, I get these incredibly smart people, but they do not know how to talk to their colleague or their coworker.
Engage with other
people. And then when I get people that I look at their resume and maybe they played a sport or maybe they belong to a club, but maybe they weren't the top of their class.
Yeah.
Those people are starting to become more important than the person with this degree, that degree, you know, this GPA. And so, you know, you get a bunch of kids now and you give them a ball and you say, go play. They will not know what to do. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. I'm like,
Well,
yeah, now I mean, we used to play, I mean, it's a horrible name for them, but we played murder ball, which I mean, now I guess sounds horrible. And I'm like, yeah, we got pummeled as kids with Nerf balls and it was really fun. And I guarantee I got hit in the face a couple times, but you know what? You pick yourself up, you dust yourself off and you go play again, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe we need to rename that. Dodgeball.
Yeah. But I mean, whatever it's called, it's just missing, you know, and like you said, your mom, you know, would kind of kick you out the door. And I think that's, you know, for people in our generation, we played all day long. And, you know, my rule was you come in when the streetlight comes on.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you most days, I doubt my parents knew where the heck I was, but what I was doing, I was on my skateboard, I was on my bike, We were climbing mountains. We were climbing trees. Yeah. Sometimes we were swimming. You know, nowadays kids practically have a chip in them, so you know where they are all the time, but they're not doing those.
It's a sense of adventure. And I think, you know, the plus side sometimes to technology, you know, I watch my, you know, 4-year-old little nephew and he can work an iPhone and I'm like, oh my gosh, it baffles me. But there are all these apps that are really good for hand-eye coordination, creativity, and they can teach kids numbers and their ABCs and all these things that are phenomenal. But then I'm like, well, yeah, but my mom taught me my ABCs, you know? And so I think we just have to be careful of how much of that is replacing that human interaction that's so important. Definitely. But again, disclaimer, I do not have children and this is not parenting advice.
It's like this show's full of disclaimers.
We're not putting my email address on this, are we?
No, all good. So let's jump back a minute to gratitude. And I think, you know, we talked earlier how kind of mindfulness and gratitude kind of hot topics, buzzwords, you know, I get a lot of requests now. Hey, Andy, can you come talk to my department about mindfulness? You know, can you come present about mindfulness? And I think it starts with gratitude. And I think now, you know, just having watched a little bit of news this morning and listened to a little bit of radio, which was a big mistake, it's more important than ever. And so my question would be, like, in the journal that I use, the Goal Getter, there's the three things that you're grateful for. Is it okay if they really kind of just repeat themselves over and over every day? Or should you really be searching for a wider...
Again, you know, my blanket answer is going to be there's no wrong. But I actually think about that, too, whenever I journal. I'm like, am I journaling about the same thing every day? And I think... one thing that's interesting is to actually not try to change, but notice trends, right?
Okay.
So if I write every day that I'm grateful for my family, of course I'm grateful for my family every day. I actually challenge myself to be a little bit more specific, right? So I'm one of those people, it's so horrible. So like when I like say my prayers, I'm one of those people that will like, I don't want to forget anyone. As though if I forget them, I'm a horrible person,
they're
right?
Left off, yeah.
Right? So sometimes I've done that on my gratitude journal where I'm like, well, if I specify, you know, my dad, well, does that mean, well, no, that means like what is on your heart at the time, right? So maybe that day, you know, I'm grateful my dad came over to my house and put in a security system for me. I'm grateful that my dad loves me that much. You know, I'm grateful that I got to spend an afternoon with my nephew. I'm, you know, grateful that I feel healthy enough to run in the grass and play soccer with him. You know, I think getting a little bit more specific, actually, it's like anything. The more specific you can be, the more you like process that and internalize it. I think saying things like I'm grateful for my health is great. But what are you grateful for about your health? So maybe I think the value in gratitude isn't that you can do it right or wrong. I think the value in it is that you can actually process those things and be more mindful of your everyday life. Because I think if you walk through life like not really noticing things that you're grateful for, you might miss out on things, the little things, right? And there are times when I'm like, I'm so grateful that I woke up to birds chirping and the sun shining. And yeah, that may sound cheesy, but if you notice those little things in life, imagine how much brighter your day is going to be. Where we sometimes take for granted the sun shining. We take for granted, you know, the beautiful place we get to live. We take for granted a warm meal on the table. And, you know, it's been said before, but, you know, oftentimes we take for granted the things that many people in this world will never even experience in a lifetime. So I think having that attitude and having that notice those small things will actually just start to shift your heart and your mind a little bit.
No, it's great. I mean, there's certainly no shortage of things to be grateful for, right, despite what's on CNN.
Be careful what you watch, though, right?
Definitely. So here's another question now. Somebody that doesn't, I would say I'm like a recent journaler. Is that a word? Journaler?
It is a word.
How important is it to go back and look at?
Oh, I love doing that.
Okay.
I do. But you're talking to a lifelong journaler. You're talking to someone that, you know, I started journaling way before I ever started this company, and not just my health and fitness, but like I look back at journals that I still have, journaling about boys, journaling about relationships, journaling about things I was frustrated about. And so I will go back and look. So it depends on what kind of journal you're keeping, right? So if you're looking at a health and fitness journal, I love looking back to see progress. So if we're talking about fitness specifically, I would look at like, okay, I'm making progress. And that's one reason we encourage people to journal those things, is it's a great way to track your progress. It's a great way to look at accomplishments and things you've achieved. And even if it's, you know, your cardio workouts or your heart rate or your, you know, all these different things that you can track, how many push-ups or pull-ups you can do. There's so many things like that. But when we come to free-form journaling, gratitude journaling, and things like that, what I find fascinating about it is to see personal growth. And the things maybe that you were grateful for 6 months ago have transformed a little bit. Sometimes whenever you're in a really good season and life is just going good, sometimes it's good to go back and read those things when maybe life is a little tough. And maybe you need to be reminded of when things were good to kind of like brighten your mood. You know, likewise, I like to read the freeform stuff whenever I'm journaling, because I see that, you know, how much, you know, personal growth maybe I've gone through, but also remind me of, you know, some deep thoughts that maybe I wrote down. And so, like, I'll read them and I'm like, oh, that's good. That's good. So I do that often, not a lot. I keep travel journals, because when I'm traveling, I will take time to go into a coffee shop, go figure, every couple days and journal details of my trip, because I feel like those are experiences I don't want to forget. And the little things like where I went and what I did, maybe I could remember those by looking at pictures, but I won't remember who I met, conversations I had, people that literally rocked my world in just a little engagement in a way that I may not remember 20, 30 years from now or next week, frankly. So I'm big on journaling, kind of every aspect of life. And it doesn't have to be something that creates work. It's something that brings joy to me.
So for those of you that have probably noticed, Angela mentions coffee shops a lot. She is coffee-aholic a word?
Coffee connoisseur.
Would prefer. Yeah. Okay, I'll go with that, I guess. I don't think I've ever seen you without a cup in your hand.
I have my Keen coffee right now.
Okay.
And it needs heated up, but, you know, whatever. Okay.
So you mentioned something kind of interesting, because I think there's a tendency to maybe journal more when things are good. Is that correct? I mean, if you're having a bad day, do you not write it down because you don't want to remember it? Or is it important to get it down to remember why it's a bad day?
I think it's actually very therapeutic and very important. I think a couple things. Sometimes my mom used to tell me, honey, you just need to talk a lot until you get it out. Because sometimes something would be bothering me.
Yeah, get it out.
And I would just talk and talk and talk. And then literally 30 minutes later, I would get to the heart of what was really bothering me. And yes, I talk a lot, but I also journal a lot. And I think that's anybody, you know, clearly I have more words. My grandfather says I have more words, you know, in a day than he has all year, which is very true. But I also think that sometimes we think that our problem or what we're facing or circumstance we're dealing with is one thing, because that's how we think about it. But sometimes when you're writing, it will be phenomenal to see what comes out on that page, because one thing that you think was bothering you was actually just a symptom of something deeper. That's how I got to the, you know, kind of the root cause of my eating disorders over many years, was this sense of control that the way we look at control and perfectionism and all these things in our world is so negative, but everybody at some degree has a sense of like needing control over their life. And so when you're experiencing things that are out of control, some people will turn to food. Some people turn to, you know, alcohol. Some people turn to exercise, and some people turn, like, there are positives and negatives anyway. But what I found was this, you know, my way of trying to handle chaos in my life was trying to control my food. And so I think that throughout the process of kind of healing through that, it was amazing to me to learn. I thought the issue was I just wanted to be skinnier. It wasn't the issue at all. The issue was this little girl trying to gain control over a life that maybe, you know, was just in chaos at the time. And so I think sometimes I've translated that experience as life's gone on and life throws crazy things at you. A lot of times I've found journaling helps me see the root cause of what's going on rather than the surface.
No, that's a great point. And I think, I think there's probably just a human tendency to avoid things that are not pleasant. But, yeah. having listened to you, if you can kind of dump them out, it's a nice way of just getting it out of your system. And it doesn't have to be you ranting on the top of a mountain. You know, you're doing it within the confines of your own space.
There's another, thought to that, too, which is, there is value in grabbing a yellow pad of paper, those old,
legal pad.
Just journal, just write, just get it out. Be mad, be angry, be happy, be sad, be whatever you want, and then tear them up and, throw them away if that is what, if you don't want that for somebody to find or see, or if you really just need to get it out, there's tons of value in actually, doing that. And it doesn't have to be something on record for somebody else to find or something for you to go back and read. I've written many things that have been, torn up and crumpled and thrown in the trash can, not because I didn't want anybody to find them, but because, I just needed to get it out. And so a lot of times, I think about it this way. Like, if you've ever had something tough happen in business, and you've started to draft an email, and you should not hit send on that email.
Yeah.
I've drafted many emails that I've, forwarded on to someone on my team and been like, what do you think? And they're like, yeah, don't send that. Think of it that way in the way of journaling as well. Number one, it's a lot harder to, hit send or mail a letter that you've written. But if you're really having some tough things that you're dealing with, a lot of times getting it out on paper. So write a letter to that, don't write an email. Write on a legal pad what you really want to say and, how would you word that? And it's a lot safer way of getting your thoughts out and really gathering your thoughts than literally hitting send on an email that you cannot take back.
So can I share that with the parents of youth sports? Can I just give them all a legal pad and be like, just write it down before you send that note to the coach or to the league? Wow.
Honestly, there would be value in that.
Yeah.
Like, just really, really?
Good time. No, that's great advice. I think there's... I think that's a problem that occurs with everybody. And it might not necessarily be business. It might be a personal relationship.
Yeah,
a family member.
For sure. And I think that there are times when it's like we are just so quick to, social media is the perfect example of, yes, you can make your opinion known for the world to see, but... You can't take it back. And you have to remember that words are hurtful and words can be helpful. And I just err on the side of anything I put out there, I want to be helpful. I want to add value. I want to be kind. And if you can put everything that you say and think, out in the world, if you think of it through that lens, I think it changes how we communicate with people. But that doesn't mean that you don't have thoughts of, anger. Some people are, really can upset you and anger you, but is the best way to approach it, posting it on Facebook? Maybe just write it on a piece of paper and throw it away and get it out of your system rather than put unkind things out into the world. There's plenty of negative in this world and we just frankly don't need anymore.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. I think most people in general don't write enough, mm-hmm. Every day. And now you've just given them a good reason to, really rethink what you're going to say or write it down and read it out loud before you say it.
I think writing, too, it takes many different forms. You write blogs. I write blogs. You can journal ideas for things. Anytime I have a business idea or a blog idea or, I do writing on the side as a, hobby. It's a great way to just process things and get things down out of your mind as well. So I use writing and journaling for a lot of those things.
Well, that's great. So what's next? Where's Fitlosophy headed? What are you excited
about? Well,
probably
a coffee shop.
Coming to a coffee shop near you.
Coming to a coffee shop near you. Yeah. Well, I think that what is most important to me, in all seriousness, is creating things that matter. And that's why, you know, our product line has evolved, you know, fairly slowly over the years. And we have all these accessories and tools and nutrition products and fitness products. And we just launched 4 new products, you know, recently that are sticky notes and meal planning pads and shopping lists and all these things that I think are adding value. But I've always promised myself that nothing that I put out there in the world is something that is just because. Everything that we create, everything that we produce, everything that we sell, and everything that we, you know, put out in the world is something that I feel like and my team feels like will actually change someone's life. And that is literally the intention of why we create things. And it's not because I'm an angel or, you know, just Pollyanna over here. It's because, frankly, I think that there is a lack of things that, you know, really make people feel good about themselves. And I feel like that there's this huge discrepancy, especially in the fitness industry, of what works and what everybody does. And I'm trying to fill that gap of, you know, I don't think that showing people images of six-pack abs and, like, you know, bare booties on Instagram, you know, is a way to inspire people. I think of the mom that's at home with her, you know, 2 kids and maybe has 40 pounds to lose. And I'm like, is everything I'm doing and posting and saying and producing, is that going to make that person feel better or worse about themselves?
Right.
And they've done so much research around it. And I'm really fascinated that they did this research where, and that's why we're so adamant about our social media being like wholesome. And I call it the booty free zone. but the truth is they gave 2 groups of people food journals. And one food journal had no images on it, just a food journal. And then they gave one group of people an image of like fitness models and bikini competitors and, you know, all these very fit people that, honestly, there's nothing wrong with these pictures. They're just very fit people. Inspiring, right? They actually found that the people that use the journals with images actually gained weight in the same amount of time, whereas the people that use the food journals lost weight. It's because we see images of unattainable, you know, these people that post images thinking that they're inspiring people can often have the opposite effect. And so when I think about what's next for me, I literally, when I say I want to change like the trajectory of what the fitness industry has to say, that's my goal. And if I can change that, if I can, like I always say, I want to redefine Fitspiration. What does that mean to people? That's why I call it the Fitspiration Journal. Because to me, inspiring people is enabling them and giving them the tools to motivate them to get there, not showing them how I got there. That doesn't inspire people. Showing people six-pack abs, showing people a bare booty, showing people, you know, me is not the way to help them
right.
be their best version of themselves.
Right. No, and you bring up a good point. I think...
Sorry, that's my pedestal.
That's okay.
Knock
that's,
me
that's
off
That's why
it.
We're here. You know, just getting back to, you know, doing the right thing and showing gratitude. Sometimes it's those really simple steps we're missing, you know, and I think about a doctor I recently bumped into and hadn't seen in a while, and we talked and said hello. And as I said goodbye to this person, and I don't know what compelled me to do this, but maybe it was because I just finished journaling that morning. I said, you know, thank you for taking care of our patients and for taking care of us, you know, because I'm a patient too. And this person was like, wow, no one has said that to me in the longest time.
Really?
And that was such a simple thing. And I even talked to that person a few days later. And, you know, he said to me, like, I was really inspired the rest of the day to, you know, do better.
Yep.
To show good care to my patients. And it was like that kind of stuff is not happening enough. So I commend you for your approach.
Well, and I think that you actually have a good point. I think that if you start your day in a grateful way, it has, you know, a trickle-down effect to the people around you. It'll change how you treat your wife and your kids and the people that you work with and everybody that you engage with. And, you know, one thing, I mean, I encourage people to do is like do something like what you did is a perfect example. Do something kind for someone that you don't post on social media. You know, it's like we'll have these challenges and everyone's like, look, I'll, you know, and I'm not bashing these challenges at all. I think that anything that raises money or raises awareness or, you know, yes, that's awesome that you, you know, bought a gift card for a homeless person, and those are all great things, but do something that you don't need to tell anybody about, because it's going to change your heart. It's going to change how you engage with people. And you never know how, like, telling that one doctor that thing that changed, literally changed his day. And so I like to encourage people to do those things that you don't tell anyone about, because it's your own gift to the universe, yeah. frankly, yeah. and your gift to somebody else that no one needs to know about. And I'm not bashing social media. I just think that there's so much value in doing something because it's the right thing, not doing something to get credit for it, yeah. right?
So more importantly, what? Write it down.
Write it down.
Keep it to yourself.
Make it happen.
You know what I mean? All right, cool. So we are about out of time. For our listeners, Angela and her company have been great partners to Kaiser Permanente for a number of years. So, of course, you can always go to getfitsocal.org and click on our partners and use the link there to find all of the great products. But where else can people find you and follow you and all that great stuff?
I'm clearly not giving my email address right now, but
I'll do that for you.
No. All our products are available on our website at getfitbook.com. We also sell our products at Target and Walgreens as well as Amazon. But getfitbook.com, you can learn more about us. On all social media outlets, you can look for Fitbook by Fitlosophy. And just, you know, really engage. We have a great community of people that are all about setting goals in a very healthy way. We try to inspire people daily. We have tons of great recipes, free workouts. Like, everything that we provide is really just with one goal in mind, which is to help people achieve our mission. Our tagline is Live Life Fit.
So Angela is a giver, and that's why we love her so much. And I just will close this out by letting everybody know that Angela makes me smile every day, because one time she gave me a tip to add cinnamon to my coffee for all the wonderful benefits of cinnamon. So every time I grab that little shaker, I think of you.
You still
and
do
it
that.
It makes me smile.
That's
and I start
awesome.
Cracking up. And everybody in Starbucks is like, why is that guy so weird? Because I'm literally adding cinnamon and smiling, but because of you and all the wonderful things you share. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for the wonderful things you're doing with kids in schools. It's so incredibly important. And let's continue to be great partners. I look forward to the future.
Thank you, Andy.
All right. There you go, folks. Episode number 4. We hope you enjoyed it. We will see you next time.